Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the Nowhere Dispatch. This is The Painting. The year was 2006, in a town called Kilgore, Texas, about 15 miles down the road from where I currently live in Longview, Texas. Kilgore's a small town. In the early 1920s, it was called the world's richest acre. They found a massive oil deposit there, and that's what built the town. At the time, there were more oil derricks in that section, small little town of Texas, than there were anywhere else in the world. This was before they were drilling in Saudi Arabia and Russia and Alaska and all those wonderful places. So eventually, the oil mostly dried up. There's some still there. Most of East Texas is built on the oil field. So, and Kilgore's kind of a spooky place. There's this little town, there's a little main road in town, there's a Dairy Queen, a Burger King, some gas stations, there's the college, Kilgore College, which has been around for about 75, 80 years. But there's not a lot else. There's a high school, there's a few shops. They've revitalized the downtown now, but when I was living there, it was a ghost town. A bunch of abandoned, broken down buildings, empty parking lots. There was not a lot to do. And when you're in college, this was 2006, I guess I was 19 years old. So it's been a decade ago. Actually, almost exactly 10 years ago, because this was in the springtime. It was actually on a beautiful spring day, probably March or April. Beautiful 75 degrees, breeze blowing, sun is shining. Springtime in East Texas, you guys. The weather here is mostly not great, but in the springtime, in the early fall, it's pretty fantastic, I'll admit that. So, early springtime 2006, 10 years ago, my friends and I, there was about a group of six or seven of us. I was a theater major on scholarship, as I did theater in high school, and I guess I was good enough to get a scholarship, and it's a junior college, so tuition is low, so I virtually got to go to college for free. However, I had to be in all the plays, and I had to have a job on campus in the theater department, so we didn't have a lot of free time. So when we did have free time, there wasn't a lot to do, so we would kind of make our own fun, which usually involved going into the woods and drinking and smoking marijuana. I'm not trying to implicate anybody. This was 10 years ago. I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has worn out. It was college. I was 19 years old, you guys. It happens. It was a long time ago. So we would go in the woods. We would walk at first. We would walk to the woods, and there was a spot near campus where we would go. And we called it The Spot. And then down the road from that was the further spot. Then there was the third spot, and it was on this long dirt road by these oil derricks. They're always pumping and creaking, and we'd be out there getting swarmed by mosquitoes at 2 o'clock in the morning and smoking joints and drinking 40s, getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, listening to these creaking, creepy oil derricks. And eventually other people on campus found that, and we actually rolled up on a teacher out there with a student in his truck one time. We rolled up on people having sex. People would come out there, just huge groups of people. And eventually we were like, okay, guys, this is too much. So we just started driving. And I had a friend named I won't give his last name. But was a redneck cowboy kind of guy, and he had an uncanny sense of direction. We would drive for hours and hours in the woods, just down these winding asphalt, dirt, gravel roads. Driving in a pouring thunderstorm in the middle of winter and bright sunshine. We drove and drove and drove for over the course of a couple weeks, just looking for a new spot. And finally we found one. And we would hang out. We found a couple more, actually. And he would always be able to get us home. And we would drive and drive and drive. And I would have no idea where we were. And then he would take a left turn and we're back at campus, back at the dorms. I don't know how he did it. It was kind of amazing. He didn't have a GPS, compass, anything. It was all in his head. Anyway, one day when this story takes place, we were driving. There was probably, I'd say, about six or seven of us in a Jeep Cherokee. Jeep Cherokees don't hold six or seven people. So there was driver, person in the passenger seat, three people, crunched up in the back seat, one person sort of on the floor, and I was laying in the trunk, where there was a cardboard box full of bottles of liquor, including one bottle of Captain Morgan, which I was taking plugs on as we drove along, bumping along the roads, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and I couldn't see much. I could just see, like, trees and sunlight coming in. I was having a great time. I had a little buzz going. I was feeling good. And finally, we go down this little, I kind of peek out to see where we're going, because says he's, like, he's seeing something, and we pull down this little path, and then and they see something, so we stop the Jeep, and we get out, and there's, like, an old barn, but not, like, a big red barn, like a small, almost wooden shack. And we get out, and we get out, stretch our legs. We've been driving for a while. We smoke a cigarette. We take a drink, and we're like, what's the story on this shed? And let's go look. It's probably, you know, 15 feet high by, I don't know, a dozen feet wide. It's not big. And it's wooden and very old and rotten. And there's a little track going up to it. It's just dirt and trees. And then there's sort of lush green grass growing around this shack. We go and open it up, and there's like a old, dirty, beat up Corvette. Maybe it was a Mustang. I don't know much about cars. It was an old, like 1970s muscle car, like a Corvette, white. It was a really nice car. It was just old and dusty and dirty, just sitting there. Probably been there for decades. Who knows? And we're like, wow, that's cool. This cool car. And we looked at it for a minute, and then at a right angle, if you go up to the shack and you take a left turn at a right angle, there's like a path going into this little clearing. And it was all woods in the East Texas, is called the Piney Woods region. It's just trees and trees and trees, thick. Like you can't pass through them almost. They're just thick with trees. But we see this clearing. It goes up and off to the right is a clearing. All right, let's go check it out. So we grab our bottles of hooch and we go light up some cigarettes and we go walking down the path. And we get to the end of this path and there's a big, and the clearing opens up. And it's not just a clearing, there's a house, and there's a carport, and there's a shack, and there's sheds, and there's just shit everywhere. There's just trash, refuse, debris, everywhere, stacked up, piled high, scattered everywhere. It looked like a hurricane blew through. It was just everywhere, in the middle of nowhere. I can't express to you how far in the middle of nowhere we were. This was just Nowheresville. We were miles away from any highway, any road. We hadn't seen any houses. This was just, there were no signs. There were no road signs. There's no, I don't know if you've ever been on a dirt road, like dirt road, potholes, sharp hairpin turns. We hadn't seen another car in like half an hour. There were no signs. There was no nothing. And we pull off, you know, and we walk down this little road and we just start walking towards, we're just walking through this clearing. It's perfectly still, totally quiet. Maybe the birds chirping, but it's just quiet and still. Beautiful spring day. And we start looking through all this trash. And we find, you know, just a bunch, like, old cassette tapes. So we start looking at those, and they're all, like, it's all, like, sermons. Like sermon. Like, and they, it's, like, says Jehovah's Witnesses on it. You know, like, it's recordings of, like, God's plan for your life and 30 days to a closer connection with God, that type of thing, like old cassette tapes. And then we found all these pamphlets, Jehovah's Witnesses pamphlets, just scattered everywhere. I'm like, what is the deal, man? Like a lot of them, not like a pamphlet or two like you would find at your grandma's house, like stacks of them, reams of them. And there's this little carport, and then there's an old busted up car, like an old junker, I don't know what it was, just an old piece of crap. And my buddy, my other buddy, not, he walks over to it. He finds a case. He's like, look what I found. He found a case of 30-30 rifle shells. Like a half full case of rifle shells. Just sitting by this car. Or maybe on the car. It was right by the car. I didn't see him pick it up. Like, that's when he's like, I'm keeping these. Because he was a big gun guy. And he had like a lot of guns. He had a 30-30 lever action rifle. And so we're looking around. And we just find, it's a bunch of junk. You know, it's just old crap. Like old hats and shirts and just crap. So we go up to the house, and there's a little porch, and we walk in the house. I think went in first, and like I think the door was just busted off. The house was like leaning. The house was like at an angle. Like the whole thing, it was almost like collapsing. It was this old rickety wooden house. Not like a log cabin, just an old wooden frame house. And we go in there, says, hey, I found something. And like, we walk in there and there's just, the floor is busted up. There's trash and garbage piled almost, you know, past your ankle, just garbage and debris just piled everywhere. And we're looking around in the kitchen and we find all these photos, like old Kodak, like the 4x6s, like the old photos. And there's these pictures and there's these two shirtless boys in these pictures. So it starts getting weird. And they're not naked, they're just like wearing shorts. And they're pretty young, probably 10 to 12 years old, maybe 8 and 12, there's two of them. And they're like, and there's pictures of them with this old white couple. And I say white couple because these kids weren't white. They looked like, they had like, you know, tan skin, like they were maybe Hispanic or from a Pacific Islander, like dark-skinned kids. And this old white couple. And all these pictures of them. And we're like, what is the story here, man? What's going on? This is just getting weird. And he says, I found something. He says, come look at this. And we go look at, and he found a painting. Like an oil painting. On, not in a frame, it was on like a, it was like canvas stretched over like a little simple wooden rectangular frame with canvas stretched over it. An oil paint. And it was a painting of a scene. It looked like a scene from a town in Spain, like an old rustic town that has like stucco walls and those, I don't know what you call it, those red roofing tiles, you know, like the half circle ones, and like a little town in, with a gray sky, like a rainy day, and a church, like a, not a cathedral, but a big church that has like two big towers, sort of not Gothic style, but like an old church, like 1600s, almost like looks like a mission. Like the missions you see in like the American Southwest, like an old mission, like a you know, that type of thing. We're like, wow, it's a really good painting. It's almost like an impressionist style, like Monet or something. It's not like ultra realistic. It's like impressionistic kind of painting. We're like, wow, that's cool. We're taking that. And then he too said that I found this. I'm taking this. And we found this old beat up like derby hat. Like, oh, I guess we'll take this, because that's all we found. Anyway, and we look around for a bit, and we're like, that's weird, man. Just left a weird impression on all of it. It was still weird and still and quiet, and just so far from nowhere. And this great, big, huge clearing in the middle of these thick, dense woods down this long dirt road, and just a house. It had to have been abandoned, because these were old. This was 2006, but in 2006, people had digital cameras. You know, not a lot of people still used film cameras in 2006. You know, we had flip phones, but our phones had cameras in them, you know. It wasn't totally the Dark Ages, but these were old, faded pictures that had been laying out. Like, this place was, I was like, where did these people go? Who were, why did they live just, were these boys, did they adopt them? Were they, like, missionaries? Where did this painting, this like painting was like, they had no like paintings or art or decorations in their house and just this painting. It was so weird. Left a really weird feeling. It was kind of creepy, but we left and we were drinking rum and we're like, whatever, we'll get out of here. So we pile back in the car, we go back to campus and we continue drinking and having a great time, whatever. And didn't live on campus. And he's like, well, I'll just leave this painting in your dorm room. I'm like, okay, sure. Me and my roommate. So we lived on campus. And so we had the painting, and we looked at it some more, and we're like, oh, wow, that's a weird, that's a really cool painting. I can't believe we just found this in the woods in the middle of nowhere. And, like, if we tried to go back there, I think if we'd even tried to go back the next day, we wouldn't be able to find this place. And I certainly wouldn't 10 years ago now, certainly not, but because we had been driving for, like, over half an hour just, and these roads, there's no signs, there, a lot of them aren't on a map. They're just crazy, crazy roads that you can go a whole week and nobody will drive down them. You know, because they've just been there forever, you know, for these crazy woods people to live out there. Anyway, so we have the painting. And one day, and like, we looked at it a lot. Like, we looked direct, we would stare at this painting in our room. And we would see it every time we'd come in. And we'd take it down and look at it. We'd put it on top of one of our dressers, which is like our closet. We didn't have a walk-in closet. It was like a big metal cabinet. And we would just, We looked at it every day, and after like a few days to a week, one of my roommate, he says, you know, he's like, whoa, the crosses are scratched out. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the crosses are scratched out. Come look at this. I'm like, okay. So we go, and he gets the painting down, And we look at it, and the church, right? And it had the two big towers, the two big columns, like I said, you know, like where the church bell, the steeple where the church bell would be. And on each top of that, there was like a little white blur, and you could see like where the cross would be. Like, you know, on the top of a tower or a steeple of a church, there's a cross usually. There was two places where someone had taken something like a razor or sharp and scraped away the paint. And you could see the bare canvas underneath it. And we were like, whoa, this is... Okay, we went to this crazy house in the woods, down this dirt road, in the middle of nowhere. Pictures of, like, these kids and Jehovah's Witnesses pamphlets and all this, and boxes of shells and muscle cars. Like, what's going on? It was so strange. And someone had gone back. Someone had painted this painting. And someone had gone back to the painting and scratched out the crucifixes, the crosses, on top of this church building and the painting. And we were like, whoa, that's spooky. So anyway, we're like, we thought it was kind of cool, but it was kind of spooky. So we just put it back away. And then, you know, a couple more weeks passed by. We're just, you know, going to class, doing our play rehearsals, doing theater type of thing. And another time we take the painting back down and look at it again. And I don't remember what, it was my roommate or maybe our friend, and he saw it and he says, whoa, did you guys see this? And again, we look at this painting every day. We take it down, and especially after we saw it the first thing, we take it down and look at it closely. I'm like, this is so weird. And so my friend says, have you seen this? I was like, look at this. What are you talking about? He's like, look who signed this painting. And this was on the front of the painting in like the bottom corner where there was like a green grassy area at the bottom of this painting of the street in this town. The painting is signed J. Christ. J. Christ. Not J period, just J space Christ in block letters in gray paint at the bottom of this little green area in gray letters at the bottom of this painting. And but some of the letters had like lines, like the T had those, like a T, like a block letter T, but had some extra slashes through it, like horizontal lines. And through the J had some slashes through it, and like some had extra slashes. And we were like, okay, wait. It's understandable if, like, okay, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they, I don't know much about that particular sect, that particular faith. I'm sorry, I don't know more. I know very little about them. But okay, maybe they object to having images of crosses. Okay, that's not outside the realm of imagination. But then to sign it J. Christ. And again, this painting, the only thing artistic, this house had no knickknacks, trinkets, paintings, it had pictures scattered on the floor, no framed pictures, no crosses on the wall, no nothing. Just desolation and ruin in this painting leaning against the wall. So, we saw that sign J. Christ, and we're like, okay, this is weird. This is kind of uncomfortably creepy now, and this is doesn't feel good. And like shortly after all this happened, just a string of bad luck, terrible, terrible bad luck. And of course, there's no such thing as luck. Bad things happen to us because we were young and stupid. Yeah. It was pretty spooky. And then eventually the painting went away, and went with when our friend he kept it, and I believe it went with him when he moved to Nacogdoches, which is a town in Texas where Stephen F. Austin University is. And I believe he took it with him. And when they were down there, we kept that hat, the derby hat, and we threw it away. So we're like, oh, this hat's cursed. It's cursed. Yeah, and when they moved down there, they ran into just a string of bad luck as well. All of us did for like the next several years. Just horrible things kept happening. So it's just so unexplainable, you know? It's bizarre to me. Like, where did this painting come from? Who was the? It was a great painting. It was done by someone who was clearly talented, clearly not a professional, but someone who had painted at least quite a bit before. Someone who knew how to like mix paints and use the right colors and shading and lighting and stuff. Who was this person Where did they get... Did they... Was it someone in that house? Why did they sign a J. Christ? Why did they scratch the crosses out? What was that house? Who lived there? It had been abandoned and had to have been for more than a decade. The place was in shambles. Like, who were those people? What were they, what was it like living in that house? Did they eat dinner there? When was that house built? Did they... Those kinds of things bother me. And that's because I don't know. And that's what creepy shit's all about. Not necessarily about ghosts and goblins and vampires and werewolves. It's about things that you experience in your life and you rack your brain and you just don't have an answer for. You can maybe have a hypothesis or a guess, but you just don't have an answer for. And you know that you never will. Like, I could never find that place again. Even if I found now, who now he lives on the other side of the country. Even if I found him, he would remember the story because he remembers the painting, I'm sure. I haven't talked to him in a few years. But some of my other friends remember the painting that were there that day. And, but we could never find it again if we tried. And we can't just go asking, like, hey, so-and-so who's lived in Kilgore, do you know where this house is that we can't describe to you at all? Did those people ever come back? They left a pretty nice car there. And a house that maybe was nice one day. But I'll never know. And no one will ever know. Or if someone does, I'll never know that they know. That's some creepy shit. If you want more stories like that, stay tuned in to the Nowhere Dispatch. We're at Nowhere Dispatch on Twitter, nowhere-dispatch.com on the World Wide Web. We are at the Nowhere Dispatch on SoundCloud. Soon we'll be on iTunes. I'll be providing updates. And I will see you next week on the Nowhere Dispatch.